Stoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We are always live as well on the free Odyssey app. It's our final hour. We're also streaming on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. So the Commanders took Josh Connerly last month in the NFL draft with a first-round pick at pick 29 with the intention that he is going to play offensive tackle, presumably. Hopefully, he'll win the job at right tackle, and who knows, maybe 3-4 years from now when Laremy Tunsil's on the way out, he slides over to left tackle and goes back to where he was in college. But when Todd McShay mentioned on our show in the days after the draft that he could see him playing guard at least to start to and then kicking out to tackle eventually to replace Tunsil, people freaked out. And so I wanted to bring that to Logan Paulson and see what Logan, a guy who played 10 years in the NFL, is a glorified sixth offensive lineman in a lot of those years. He was a blocking tight end who was brought in to do offensive lineman-y stuff. And someone who coaches NFL offensive linemen now and knows more about blocking than I will forget in my entire silly life. What he thought of that. And I think the answer is really, really, really enlightening. So, without further ado, here's that conversation from Take Command. Take Command. I'm Craig Hoffman. He's Logan Paulson. Mailbag time. That's what we do early in the week. You can get your questions in at HoffmanShow.com. You use the contact link, type in your question, then we read it. And the best ones, the most creative ones, the most relevant ones, they make the air. You can also hit us on Instagram at Hoffman.sports and at Logan_Paulson82. And Logan, this one came from our guy, Steven. I've gotten versions of this in our YouTube comments as well, and Instagram comments, TikTok comments. Especially in response to my chat with Todd McShay, because Todd said, hey, Connerly might play guard this year. And I don't know how locked in Todd was on kind of the plan here versus kind of what he thought was possible. But people freaked out. People were like, oh, my God, how could they say that? And Steven asked, I thought, what was a good version of the question that will allow us to have what is an important conversation about the Commanders' first round pick. Question about Josh Connerly, the position he's most likely to play this year and beyond. I'd be surprised if he isn't their right tackle, but I've heard several analysts that I respect think he's more of a guard. I know you and Logan have broken Connerly down extensively, but I have a specific question about this that I don't know if I've heard addressed yet. If Connerly's perceived weakness right now is play strength, why would that be better at guard? Intuitively, I'd rather have him blocking 260 to 280-pound edge rushers or someone lighter like Micah Parsons than someone like Dexter Lawrence or other big, strong guys in the middle. If strength is an issue. If you guys can shed light on this, that'd be great. Thanks, Stephen.
That's a really good question, and I think it brings up a lot of interesting kind of thought experiments, thought processes about what it means to play offensive line in the NFL. So I'll start with the first part, which is play strength and, you know, play strength at guard and play strength at tackle. And I think there's this conception or preception that you have to be really strong to play guard. And that's true to a certain extent. I think you think about your Larry Allens, for example, like these just bears of men who are just incredibly powerful. But the thing about guards that I think people often overlook is their foot quickness, right? So they tend to be really kind of twitched up. And if you are a twitched up athletic guard, you can get to the spot before those big guys. So in the run game specifically, it can be very, very helpful. Also, remember that when you're at guard, there's less space. You're not as far from the rusher. So usually if I can be really quick out of my stance, kind of explode out of my stance, get to my spot, get hands on, I can stop the car before it starts running in a way that I can't do at tackle. So I do think that you can actually get away with not being quite as strong at guard. And obviously this is very system dependent. You know, if you're in a heavy gap scheme, kind of, we got to move this guy vertically off the spot. Think, you know, the LA Rams, they got a bunch of big offensive linemen guys that are all over 330. Part of that is because they run a lot of tight zone. They run a lot of gap scheme runs, run a lot of duo, and that shows up, right? You got to be able to kind of move the dudes off the spot. However, I've had a lot of experience over the course of my career with guards that are just quick. They're just really quick, and it allows them to cover up their play strength because those big defensive tackles oftentimes are so reliant on being big and strong that they can't move as well laterally. So you can put yourself in position to kind of win that. So again, like in a situation with Connerly, like obviously I think his long-term home, whether it's next year or not, is going to be right tackle for this team. But if he does play guard, I think it might even cover up a little bit of the play strength. As long as you can stay balanced and as long as you can be quick-footed and use your length, which he has and he can do. So I think that's where I'd say, like, don't always think of it as like, oh, guards need to be big and kind of lumbering. The reason people tend to prioritize tackle, and this is, again, kind of going back to the original question, is because it's just harder to find the body type. It's harder to find these body types. And people say, you got to be tall and you got to move like a basketball player, but you got to be super strong. And you got to be really, really strong at tackle because there's a longer runway, right? Like these bigger edge rushers like Rashad Gary, Myles Garrett, they can generate a ton of force, right? Because what's force? It's mass times acceleration. So they have a longer runway to accelerate into contact. So you have to be really good with your hips and sinking contact. You have to be really good with the timing of your punch. And that's why it's really hard, I think, to find a premier or a starting caliber right or left tackle in the NFL than it is to find a guard. I think it's just the nature of the phone booth of the position makes it a little bit easier. So I don't know if that answers the question, but I think I touched on most of the points there.
No, I think the play strength thing is that's the one where like your insight as someone who played the game and works with offensive linemen and like understands that is different, because I think it makes a ton of sense for the average fan to just be like, okay, would you rather have a strong guy block Dexter Lawrence or Micah Parsons? And it's like, Dexter Lawrence. And it's like, actually, Micah Parsons has a 4-yard head start and Dexter right. Lawrence has to go right now, which is why some of these really quick interior players who are explosive right now, Aaron Donald, Dexter Lawrence, et cetera, are the best interior pass rushers, is because they can generate that power immediately. Jalen Carter can right. generate, not only are they quick enough to get around guys, but they can generate that power immediately because of how twitched up they are on the inside versus, like, otherwise, why would have Haloti Ngata not been the greatest sack man in the history of the NFL? Because he's so damn strong. Well, it's because his strength was used in other ways to be a highly effective borderline Hall of Fame level football player, but it wasn't pass rush. And there's a reason for that. I think the other part of this question, though, in terms of the guard tackle and like hearing some of the commentary, especially after I had McShay on last week and he said what he said, is I think the most likely outcome is Josh Connerly is going to start at right tackle and Brandon Coleman's going to start at left guard. I think that's the leader in the clubhouse. That's the odds-on favorite, whichever analogy you want to use. But it's not set in stone, and it could go the other way. And I think people need to accept that and be okay with that and be fine with that, because, one, the long-term plan, you don't know, and you don't do long-term in the NFL very much. Like, of course, there's some long-term planning that happens, but this is such a year-to-year league that if Josh Connerly plays guard this year, or even the next couple of years, and then, you know, you try him at tackle. If he's an all-pro guard, maybe you just leave him at guard long-term. Sweet, we got an all-pro guard. But when Tunsil retires or moves on, you kick him outside. Okay, that could work. But like trying to figure that out now and saying like, what's the best thing for 3 years from now is how coaches get fired in this league. It's how you see your results get worse in this league. And so what they're going to do is they're going to let him probably take early. Like, my guess is because he's the veteran and the incumbent, Andrew Wiley will get the first snap at right tackle in OTAs. We'll see what happens by training camp, but for no other reason other than seniority. And that's kind of how the league, how they want to build the program in terms of competition is like, hey, that's our guy, go beat him. And there's a really great chance that Josh Connerly and or Brandon Coleman could do that. And Connerly maybe is the second string right tackle on day one of camp. And then day two, maybe he's the first string left guard. And then he goes back, and they're going to take the time to teach those guys multiple positions and then ultimately let them compete, and the best man will win. Is my prediction that Connerly will win right tackle and Coleman will win left guard, and that some combination of Urbig, Wiley, and Allegretti will want competing for Cosme's place until he gets back at right guard? Yes, but it could go another way, and accepting that it could go another way is perfectly fine, and I get the consternation and kind of the vitriol towards anyone who doesn't say Connerly's the starting right tackle, but I think you'll be a much happier person if you don't have such a violent reaction to the concept.
Yeah, and I think it's important to also understand, like, to this point, is that the NFL game is different than the college game. The rushers are different. They're stronger, they're better, they're faster. And so even though he has all the skill set to play right tackle or left tackle on paper, like, it might not work out for him. You know, I just talked about Brandon Sheriff. Like, on paper, like, he had all the things you needed. He was very athletic. He had good lateral movement. It just didn't jive for him. And I remember talking to him. It was probably his second year. And I said, how do you like guard? He said, oh, I love it. I just love it so much more because there's less space. I can just use what I'm good at, my quickness, my athleticism, my power to get guys off the spot. And I think that's where, like, this is – like, he might not be able to handle the – variety of moves that he sees on the edge. He just might not. And so, hey,
and he's if Brandon pick. Coleman can, then sweet. He can be a let great guard it. And let Coleman play right tackle.
And it solves the problem, right? Because you get better athletes at multiple spots. And again, like I said, I ultimately think Connerly will probably start at right tackle, you know, long term at some point for this team. But don't sleep on Brandon Coleman either. I mean, he ran a sub-5 flat 40. He has 35-inch arms. Like, would you look at the more – who's got more tackly measurements? I know Brandon Coleman's got this kind of guard, kind of bulky body. But whoever – who looks more like a tackle, like, they both have these crazy tackle measurements. So, and I think that's one of the things I look back on last year, and great job by this staff of kind of finding a guy that can do that for you. So don't sleep on them, right? Don't sleep on whatever amalgamation is the best, right? And I think it's okay also if he doesn't start week one. I think that's also something fans need to be okay with, because as much as I like the prospect, as much as I enjoy watching his film, as much as I enjoy thinking about the ceiling of the player, it's hard for guys when they come to the NFL. It's a different animal. Like, speaking from experience, like, you don't see the type of athletes. You see the type of athletes you see in the NFL every week once in college, even if you go to a big school, even if you go to LSU or something like that. You see those dudes, those top flight, Micah Parsons, Myles Garrett. Like, there's a guy on every team that you're like, oh.
Connerly saw Abdul Carter once.
Yes. And he did a good job. But, like, he saw him once, right? And I think that's a great iteration of kind of how different the landscape is for pass protectors. And even in the run game, like, you got to deal with just a different animal. Like, it's always crazy taking a college defensive end that I do study and evaluation for and then bring them to the NFL, because all the stuff that they do in college doesn't work in the NFL. The tackles are too big. They're too long. They're too locked in on the technique. Even bad ones in the NFL are good compared to college offensive linemen. And I think that's just something you have to understand. Like, it's not going to be a easy transition. I mean, it could be, right, which would be great, but there are obstacles in the way of this. And I think, like, you know, that's why you say, oh, he's wired the right way, he's going to study, he's going to get better. All those things are true, but you want the best five on the field, I think, is ultimately what I come down on, because it's not always as seamless as it seems on paper.
For sure. There's a great clip that was going viral last week from the podcast 7 p.m. in Brooklyn, which is Carmelo Anthony's podcast, and they had Malik Nabers on. And they asked Malik, like, hey, what's the difference between college and the NFL? And he goes, I don't want to say college was easy, because it wasn't. Like, LSU, the SEC, whatever. But, like, the NFL, every dude is just that guy. Like, you got, yeah. they were having a good chuckle about, like, you got dudes in high, you got corners wearing 37, and that dude's still getting after it, because he's a, you know, he's just trying to play for his job, play for his family, and he's really good. He's like, you know, I catch a screen pass, and, you know, in college, I could cut that thing back inside. Now I got these defensive ends coming out trying to kill me. He's like, I caught balls, and it's funny, because on this one, I think he's thinking about the Frankie Louvu hit that he took in the early season. Was it like week 2, week 3 last year? And he's like, I caught balls in areas of the field, and, you know, it was like, oh, man, I'm going to get jiggy with it. And then I would just get blasted from nowhere. And, like, that's the NFL, because every dude is a freaking dude.
It's different, man. You know, like, I would watch a lot of college film for these college guys, right? And, like, you know, like, when I'm doing the breakdowns for the draft, and it's, you'll see a play, like, I was watching Tyler Warren, right? And I saw him run this route and, like, jump up and catch the ball of this guy. I'm like, in the NFL, there's no way that happens. There's no way that happens. And it's a great college play. It's awesome to watch. But that dude in the NFL is not going to let you do that to him. He's got a big body, your ass. He's going to be way more physical than you think. And it doesn't play, right? Even bad pass sets, like when you're watching pass sets or something and you're like, no way an NFL rusher lets you get away with this kind of error. So understanding that it's a different game, the volume's turned up to 11, like, and that transition, I think a lot of people say, oh, he's for sure going to be the right tackle. He might not be, and that's okay. You got a good athletic dude who's got some growth potential on your team. He can play guard. He can play tackle. It makes you better. I think that's the thing the fans should focus on, is his addition makes you better because it gives you more flexibility. Because think about last year, right? Like, I thought those five dudes played their absolute faces off. Like, they were punching above their weight class every single week. Kudos to that group. But the second there was the hint of an injury, the group kind of fell apart. Now you've got some depth across the board. So even if he's just a depth piece, I know that's not ideal, him being the 29th overall pick. You want him to be a contributor. He is contributing to making your team better. And I think that's important to keep in mind here as well.
For sure. And, you know, by getting a guy like Tunsil, like, it lets you not have to chip it as much. Like, there's a bunch of trickle downs to the offense. So in summary, in review, we don't want a million comments being like, you guys suck. He's going to play right tackle. We don't know yet. And it's okay to say we don't know yet. He's probably going to play right tackle. That's our odds on favorite, but we'll see. The most exciting words in football podcasting. We'll see. All right, if you want more from me and Logan, check out Take Command wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget, tomorrow, Logan and I will break down the Commander's schedule. And we'll talk to Mina Kimes. ESPN's Mina Kimes joins us tomorrow on Take Command. That'll be in your feeds by tomorrow afternoon. So check that out wherever you get your podcasts. Coming up at 6:30, you will hear from Sonia Citron, Mystics third overall pick in the 2025 WNBA draft. We'll run back through the Commander schedule for those of you just tuning in next. But first, the latest in the world of women's sports, presented to you by Wawa Chicken. How you wanna? Wawa, with customizable roasted or crispy chicken sandwiches. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. For full reaction to the Commander schedule tonight, you're going to want to check out Linnell Willingham, 7 o'clock. He's all the way till 10 live here on the Team 980. A special edition of Overtime and the NFL schedule release show officially comes out in the 8 o'clock hour. But we do know the full schedule. It has been reported for the Commander, so here we go. Giants week one at home, week two at the Packers, Thursday night football. So you get a quick primetime game, quick Thursday nighter, which is honestly the best time to have a Thursday nighter, is as early as possible. Raiders at home then in week three, Falcons on the road in week four, Chargers on the road in week five. This is a pretty tough stretch, 4 of 5 on the road. The lone home game, week six, Monday night football against the Chicago Bears, rematch of the Hail Mary game. Week seven at Dallas, week eight, Monday night football again, second time in 3 weeks. You'll this time be in Kansas City against the Chiefs. Week nine, Seahawks, Sunday night football. So 3 of 4 primetime games, Monday night, Dallas, which will probably be a 4 o'clocker, Monday night again, and then Sunday night against the Seahawks. Week 10 is against the Detroit Lions at home, and then it's off to Madrid week 11 to face the Dolphins. Bye week is week 12. Week 13, Broncos at home against Sunday Night Football. Then finally, you might have a 1 o'clock game against the Vikings at Minnesota. Week 14, week 15 at the Giants. Week 16 against the Eagles. 17, Cowboys on Christmas Day. 1 o'clock, first of the NFL's Christmas Day triple header. The first two games on Netflix, Lions and Vikings are the second Netflix game. Week 18 at Philadelphia. So yes, two of the final three games are against the Eagles. Yikes. That's tough, as you might say. All right. That's what we know so far, which is the whole thing, is just presuming that it's right. Hear it officially. Make sure that we got it all right tonight with Linnell coming up at 7:30. At 7, I should say. Next, we continue our Mystics celebration. It's opening week for the Sticks. Sonia Citron and I sat down at Mystics Media Day. Really, really good chat with the third overall pick in the WNBA draft that you'll hear next here on the Team 980. Mystics Media Day continues with Sonia Citron. Sony, good to see you.
Good to see you.
So I'm going to start with the fun stuff because I talked to Coach Ivy, and we talked about how much she loves you as a basketball player, and we talked about all the basketball stuff, and we'll do a bunch of basketball in a second. But I did have to ask her about the orange carpet, because you were ranked very highly on all of the lists. And I was like, Coach, like, you're pretty fashionable. Like, did you know Sony had it like that? And she goes, nope. Didn't know she was out there looking like an quote unquote an Italian Vogue model. Why are you holding out on Coach Ivy like that? What was up with that, Sony?
I didn't even know I had it in me either. So
was it fun? Like to be like
fun,
like when you look, see yourself in the mirror and for the first time, you're like, oh, look at me.
Yeah, no, it was definitely very fun, but not something I can do regularly.
Folks, like, tunnel fits, take the expectations down.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm working on it.
Okay.
I'm going to try with the tunnel fits. You know, it might not be, I can tell you it won't be every game, but I'm going to try to sprinkle some in here and there. Okay. Yeah. But no, it was really, really fun that day. I don't think I had ever like done a full glam like that, like makeup, hair, had it done for me. Like I don't think I had ever done that. So doing that was definitely a lot of fun. And then getting to work with Coach and have them do the blazer and the suit, it was fun because I had never really done it before. But it was definitely like after that, I was like, I'm good for a little bit, yeah. You know, like makeup, hair, all that. But then here I am today.
This is much more your vibe.
Yeah, just more casual.
I feel you. Every once in a while it's fun, but eventually it's just like, I'm a hooper. Like, put me in some sweatpants.
I know. Yep.
Feel that. All right, let's talk some hoops. Yesterday was day one of training camp. Mm-hmm. How did it feel going through your first WNBA practice? Was it what you expected? Different?
Yeah. I would say it was what I I didn't have any expectations.
Okay.
So I didn't, like, it was good. You know?
You just went in with open eyes.
Yes. It was very fun. It was exciting just getting to play with new people, play with a new team, and finally feel like it's officially starting. So that was really exciting. But yeah, I didn't really have any expectations. I wanted to go in with an open mind and not really predetermine what I thought was going to happen. So I wasn't surprised. So yeah, it was cool.
You're someone who Coach Ivy called the glue of that Notre Dame team. Yet I also saw when they had you mic'd up that they were like literally begging you to speak so that they don't have the just silence crickets. And video and running around, and you gave it your best. You did a great job.
Yeah, I do have something to say about that.
Okay.
Because
by all means.
Yes, they tried to play me and it was never crickets that entire practice, because I don't think I had ever talked more than I ever did that practice. Because Coach Ivy was doing something where like each practice she would choose one person to have to talk the most, and I think I'm a pretty humble person, but I definitely did it the best.
Okay.
I think I really, like, I was out of breath how much I was yelling, which is a lot for me. I realize how tiring it is to actually talk consistently.
Yeah, talking's exhausting. I mean,
while you're running and playing and defending.
Okay, normally I just sit in a chair and talk, but that's fine.
But, yeah, it was never crickets. They just put that in the video.
That's creative editing.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And I'll take it because it was a nicely done video, but...
Yeah. It was funny, but like Notre Dame social team, why'd you have to do her like that? The reason I bring that up though is like you're not the most vocal person, except for that
day.
But you certainly are. You're certainly a leader. So how do you think about leadership and especially coming into it? You know, it's so funny when you go from college to pro. It's like you go from being the older veteran player, the glue, to being like, oh my God, I'm the rookie. How do I fit in? And obviously you do the same thing high school to college. So it's not like this is new. But how do you think about leadership and you know, upholding your standard and starting to emerge, knowing that it is a new team and a new environment for you?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think it's going to take a while to get used to. I'm not like coming in here thinking, oh, you know, like this is my, like I'm kind of, again, coming in with an open mind, knowing that we have amazing vets on our team that I'm really looking after and trying to learn from them. And they do an amazing job at really like taking us under their wing and really sharing their experience and their knowledge. So we already have amazing leaders, and honestly, just trying to not replicate that, but trying to model myself after what I see, because from what I've seen, again, they're amazing. And like you said, I'm not the most vocal person, so it's kind of just I try to lead in how I do things, you know, like again, I'm not gonna be the loudest one ever. That's not me. I don't even think I'm physically capable. Like my voice is just like doesn't get loud. Yeah, it doesn't carry at all. But just in the way that I do things, I want my team to know that when I play, like you can tell, oh, she's really working hard. Like, oh, she's really like, she'll always give us 100%. And that's kind of the way that I want to lead, even if it's not in a typical leader manner, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like just
by example,
again,
or
yeah, just by example and knowing that like, oh, Sonia's very perceptive. She's going to take what we say. She's going to listen. She's going to, you know, like, again, just work hard and give them everything that I have. So it's not really like I'm coming in thinking, how can I lead this team? Because, again, we have amazing coaches, amazing vets. So I'm just kind of like trying to take on the role that as the rookie, you know, take that role on and do it as best as I can.
That's a great answer. And that's I was curious because you have that role shift and like, what do you think about it? But the open mind, the perceptiveness, I can see that in the way you answer questions too. Slim in particular is someone I'm assuming that you're trying to latch onto, just be a sponge. Very similar play styles from what I know of your game, what I know of her game. What are some things that, some conversations you've had with her? What are some conversations you want to have with her?
I mean, I want to have a bunch of conversations with her.
I think last year, by the way, at Media Day, we just talked like principles and strategies of defense for like 10 minutes.
Really?
And it was one of the coolest basketball conversations I've ever had. So
no, that's,
steal that one. Do that.
Oh, yes. I definitely plan to. She's already helped me so much just day to day. Like, you can just tell she really takes time to look after her teammates. Like, she's really helped me with a bunch of things where I didn't even realize I was doing something wrong, and she'll like come to the side, pull me aside, or she'll like tell me to come over and like really explain what I should be doing, what I didn't do, like, but all in a very, not a gracious way, but like it's not like she's yelling at me. Like, she's really trying to teach me so I understand what I'm doing, not just tell me to do something, like understand the why part of it, which I think is really cool. But I think everybody knows she's an amazing defender, amazing player, but very, very good defender. And as someone who wants to be a good defender, and I had that role in college, but the W is a lot different. Like, these players are a different caliber, obviously. So I'm really trying to take in everything I can with her as a defender, you know? Like, in yesterday, the first day of training camp, we were doing defensive breakdowns, and we were in the same group, and I was just asking questions. She was, if I did something wrong, again, didn't even realize, she would like stop the drill and tell me, oh no, you need to be, you know what I mean, just coaching me up. And I'll take that all day, every day, you know. Like, I want to learn, I want to be a sponge, knowing that as a rookie I don't really know anything, you know, like going into it thinking I don't know anything about this league, because I don't. And again, just being a sponge, especially with players like Slim, like you said.
For sure. All right, I got two questions to wrap up here. Two fun ones that we're asking everybody today. Your jersey number. What's the story behind it?
So 22. Well, I was 11 in college. I wasn't sure if I wanted to keep it or not, but they didn't have it anyway, so it kind of worked
so
out.
So I think Elena is like probably going to have that one hanging up there somewhere.
Yes, exactly. So very understandable. I wasn't mad at all, because I kind of wanted to maybe choose a new number, because it's like a new journey, you know, new chapter. And 22 was open, and 22 is me and my brother's number. Like,
oh, that's cool.
We were both born on the 22nd. Like, I have it tattooed on my leg, because that's just, I'm really close with him. He's been a role model for me my whole life. And yeah, so it's just our number. Like, I love 22.
That's good enough for me.
I was born on the 22nd. There you go.
What month?
It was open. October.
Okay. I'm a 23rd, but February. So there you go. But I remember that. Right. Put that one in the calendar. Happy birthday, Sonia Citron. October 22nd. And then the last other one. Here's the one. Aaliyah was like, oh, I can't believe you just asked me this. If you could have anybody that doesn't sponsor you right now sponsor you. Like, you could just be like, I have a brand deal with that company. Who would it be? Trying to move some product for y'all today.
Yeah, for real. Thank you. I have two answers.
Okay.
One, an espresso machine company.
Ooh. What's your coffee order? That was one of our questions last year.
I love a latte. When I go to coffee shops, I like a bunch of different syrups and flavors, but I like to ask that coffee shop, like, what's your most popular flavor? Because I want to...
Like, yeah,
you know what I
experience
mean.
Experience it
exactly. Yeah. Like, if that's the most popular, obviously people think it's good. So, I like to do that. But an espresso. I really want an espresso machine.
Okay.
So I think it would be cool to have a deal. You know, they're pretty expensive, so it would work.
All right. I feel like someone's got to get on that.
But I haven't really done my research on like which is the best one, so I have to do that. So I can't tell you an exact brand yet.
That's why. Hey, now we got a bidding war. That's good business right there.
And then the second answer is popcorn. I'm obsessed with popcorn.
Okay.
And I have a popcorn machine called Whirly Pop.
Okay.
That, like, it's like the, I make the popcorn, you know, on the stove, put the oil, the kernels. And I think it would be cool to do a deal with them, or like a deal with like a movie theater.
Okay.
Like Cinemark, you know?
You got some entrepreneurship going on up here.
Yeah, something, you know, I got some ideas, but not specifics.
Okay.
So I got to work on that.
All right, we'll put that out to the ethernet or the internet, see if we can, the algorithm, get a hold of it.
Yes.
Next thing you know, it could be a coffee maker showing up for Sony here. Sony, it was great to see you.
Yes,
thank you,
you
and
too.
Best
thank
of luck
so
this
much.
Season.
Thank you.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. My hair is wild today. Anthony, we're at that point where your boy needs a haircut soon is really what it is. But, like, there's a point where I'm like, I need a haircut soon. And then it kind of settles down a little bit again. I'm like, I don't know. Should I just keep my hair long? These are the questions I face.
Hey, you're not the only person that needs a haircut. I need one really bad. I need a shape up. Mom, I look crazy.
Yeah, so I just got the hat off. But, like, I had hair sticking out the front of the hat, which is when it was on backwards, which is a real, real wacky look. What's Linnell saying in that?
No. Ben just said he got a fresh fade.
It's pretty fresh. Pretty nice fade. Jersey's also older than he is.
He said your jersey's older than you are.
Yeah, probably like twice as old.
Twice? How old are you, Ben? 21.
He's 21?
Oh, my God.
What year? That's an 81 Art Monk? Is that what we got over there? All right, hold on. What year did Art Monk retire? First of all, Art Monk, 67 years old. So three times as old as you. And Art retired. Where did Art go to school, Anthony?
Come on, man. The one and only Syracuse University.
That's correct. Art did play till he was 38 years old. Retired in 1995. So it's not quite twice as old as Ben. But... closer than I want it to be, considering what year it is, what year 1995 was, and what that means for how old I am.
Yeah, I'm not even going to say it, but Art Monk did retire.
Wait, hold on.
He retired before I was born.
We've had our guy Andrew shadowing the show today. He's still in college. Ben's 21. Linnell's sitting in that room. You're sitting in your chair. How the hell did we put together a group of people where I am the oldest one?
You're asking all the
right
questions.
I feel like y'all did this to me on purpose. I'm on the wrong end of a bit right now, and I don't appreciate it. My name's on the show. Everyone else, get out of here! Except for you, Anthony. You're working. You have to still hit the buttons. You have to do things. Actually, the next button that gets hit is the one that I hit. So, you know, if you want to take like a small break, I guess you can.
That's fair.
Tomorrow on the show, never read the comments. They probably right now say, I'm old. Or there's other people that are way older than me that are like, you're not old. Look at me. So those are the comments right now, probably on the YouTube stream. All in all, we're tomorrow, never read the comments. You also hear from Brittany Sykes if you're enjoying our Mystics interviews. And if you're not, you'll still hear from Brittany Sykes. What else we got tomorrow, Anthony?
Road trip.
Oh, we got to do our road trip draft. Very excited for that. And then we'll see what else comes out of schedule release. I feel like there's something else that I was thinking about, and I don't remember what it is. So, whatever's in the mystery box of Craig's ideas tomorrow. Any other housekeeping, Anthony? Linnell's coming up at 7 live for the schedule release show. Yeah, no, 7 o'clock. You don't have to start yelling now. Save it till 7. Good gracious. Hear this man through soundproof glass and headphones. That's it, Anthony? That's all the housekeeping?
I think so.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'll hit that button now.
Real things.
We're not going to be sunk this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
Oh, I've been waiting to play this one for a couple of days. London Fletcher, you know him, should be in the Hall of Fame. Absolute travesty that he's not. He came up when Shaquille O'Neal asked Calvin Johnson, yes, Megatron, a question on his podcast.
Was it ever any one guy that hit you so hard it made you go, God damn, I'm strong?
Hell yeah. London Fletcher. You know, London Fletcher probably like, he might be all 5'9". You know, but London caught me coming across the middle one time and caught me like mid-stride, so both of my feet off the ground. Dude hit me like in my ribs, back ribs area. He probably hit me about 5 yards through the air, back the other way towards the line of scrimmage. And after that play, I got up, I walked to the sideline. I'm like, Coach, man, I think I'm done for the day. I think you got to remove my soul from my body.
If you're ever injured, you can check out Morgan & Morgan. Their feet is free,
Andy, unless they're not giving. Why'd you leave Shaq's Shaq's ad in there.
Thought I cut it.
That's what you get for thinking. Maybe should have paid more attention in school. Speaking of our school, Carmelo Anthony. Fine Syracuse alum at Syracuse commencement this weekend. Yeah, they gave that tall fella a cap and gown and said, talk to the kids.
And I realized that I was more than just an athlete. And so are you. More than just your major. More than your resume. More than others expect you to be. You don't have to fit in a box, and I want to tell you that. You don't have to fit in a box. You can have multiple careers. You can change directions. You can evolve again and again as long as you keep chasing what sets your soul on fire. But one thing, as you chase your dreams, don't forget where you came from.
Which, in our case, Anthony's Central New York. That's where we came from.
Yes, sir.
At least in college. Also, I got to say, it's reassuring to hear how echoey Carmelo's speech was in the Carrier Dome, because, or whatever the hell they call that place now. Because I've told the story on the air before of my college commencement speech when I was at Syracuse, and how I did one of the 10 dumbest things in my life in the Friday or Saturday night prior, which was I punctured my eardrum with a Q-tip.
Good gracious.
Yeah, it didn't feel great. It hurt less than you think, but also didn't feel very good at all. And so listening to Aaron Sorkin, who gave my commencement speech, sounded very much like the other end of the phone in the Charlie Brown teacher conversation, because I had a punctured eardrum in the echoiest like building you could possibly think of. So now with two functioning eardrums, more years than I'd like to admit later, hearing in a sound recording how echoey the Carrier Dome is makes me feel better about my college commencement. And that's how we conclude our show today. See you tomorrow. Linnell's next.